Hello and welcome to Mediumship Natters with me, Hannah McIntyre. And today we have got some of our usual teams. We're missing the lovely Laurie, but we've got the wonderful Louise with us. So that's really, really exciting. So I'll start by asking the ladies to introduce themselves and tell you who they are. Sue.
Hi everyone, my name's Sue Quigley. I'm based in Broadstairs in Kent in the UK. I'm a colour intuitive, energy worker and psychic medium.
And very marvellous you are too. And Lisa.
Hi, my name is Lisa Jesswine. My business is called Intuitive You, and I am a psychic medium out of Royal Oak, Michigan, which is just outside of Detroit. So much love from the...
Excellent. And Jennifer.
Hey everyone, I'm Jennifer Fezzio, spiritual medium, and I live in Houston, Texas. My business is Intuitive Insights, so we got a lot of intuitive up here. And I basically just see my clients, love to do demonstrations, do mentorship, teach, and all that. So happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Yeah. And welcoming Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi everyone. My name's Louise. I am the psychic medium for over 11 years now, which I can't quite believe. My business website is called Beyond the Clouds, and I do mediumship, energy readings, psychic readings, mentorship, all that stuff.
Excellent. And we're so glad to have you join us. I know you really wanted to be here last time, so I'm glad.
I did.
So we're going to just quickly dip into last time's topic, because Louise has got a kind of fascinating, amazing, I don't know if amazing is the right word, story to share with us about the last week's topic, month's topic, about demonstrating. So Louise, tell us what your experience of this is.
Yeah, ladies, when I was listening, I couldn't make the last podcast. I had a hospital appointment. It's quite important. So when I was listening back, I was literally chomping at the bit listening to you all. And I was like, oh, I really want to say this. I really want to say this. It was so interesting to hear all your opinions on that topic about demonstrations. I actually stopped doing demonstrations years ago. I think it must be coming up to like six, seven years I haven't done any for. And I focus more on one-to-ones than anything else, really, purely because the last one I'd done, it was a massive turnout, and the ones I'd done previously all were going really well, but somebody in the audience got really, really angry. I mean, really angry that I didn't give them a message from their brother who had passed away. I didn't pick him up. You know, it's like you're doing a dem, there's loads of people there, you can't give messages to everyone. As much as I used to feel bad about that, it's just impossible, isn't it? But when I say really angry, I mean swearing, shouting, trying to fight me. It was really bad. Wow. It was really bad. And I know that doesn't happen to everyone, but yeah, it really left a bad taste in my mouth and really kind of made me question why I was doing demonstrations. And I think it was more for me and my ego, I suppose, than actually delivering beautiful messages to people, because I don't know, I just decided that my readings need to be more personal, more intimate, because I think everyone's wanting a message so desperately, and I felt really disappointed that I'd upset someone so much. They were so, so upset that they reacted that way. I do think there was alcohol involved as well, because I remember you ladies were talking about that element of demonstrations as well, and I think alcohol, yeah, it can either bring out the best or worst in people, right? So but yeah, it was I mean, I said to Hannah the other day, you could literally do a whole podcast about that night.
It we was will.
It was a crazy one, that's for sure. But yeah, so it just kind of put me off doing them, really, and the ones that I'd done previous to that all went really well and everyone's lovely. But I suppose, and Hannah, I listened to your recent podcast actually, ouch, and I was going to message you about that, and I will send you the email I started typing you, and that resonated so much with me, because I think it all depends on the energy of the audience and who you've got there and how people react. And like you said in your podcast, one bad egg in that audience can have a knock-on effect, I believe, on everyone that's there. So yeah, it was just a personal choice for me, really. If I do ever do anything like that, it's very intimate and small, which I know, Hannah, you were saying that's what you're probably going to start doing now. So so that was my take on it.
I love it. Not that I love that happened to you, but thank you for sharing that, because I did a TikTok. I can't remember if we mentioned this last time, but I did a TikTok where I said, if you want a message, if you are desperate for a message, don't go to a DM.
Do a one-to-one.
And people were inboxing me. They were so angry that I'd suggested that. But there is a kind of, it makes sense, doesn't it? Like if you want to see medium work and you want to see what kind of medium they are and if they resonate, now that's really important, do go to the DMs for that. But don't go with this expectation.
No.
It's so damaging.
Go to enjoy other people's messages and just to feel that lovely connection and that energy. Yeah, you can't be going for selfish reasons. I get that everyone's desperate. I used to go to them before I worked as a medium, and it is lovely, isn't it, to get a message. It's the best feeling in the world. But if it doesn't happen, you just take it on the chin, don't you? You don't try and beat the medium up.
Not yet, but they're still
wow. It's intense.
Yeah. That's Essex for you.
Wow. Yeah. I think it's people. And alcohol is really interesting. I mean, Sue and I went to see a medium demonstrate recently, and the medium was very late starting, which didn't help with the ladies behind us that were three bottles of wine in before the medium even got to the stage. And the problem with that was that they thought they were talking really quietly. But they weren't. They were talking quite loudly. And then they were talking about whether they thought their loved ones were going to come through whilst the medium was connecting to someone. So it could have been for them, but they weren't. Alcohol is,
I think. Who is allowing alcohol into these events? That does not happen here. I don't know what's going on over there, but how is that even allowed?
Well, because I think if you're not working in the churches, obviously there isn't alcohol, but if you're working, like I work in places where there's bars, but there's a difference between going and having a glass of wine because it's a nice night and going and drinking three bottles of wine because it's a party. And they're two very different perspectives, I think, approaches.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, the medium was asking them to be quiet, but they were talking so much they didn't even hear her asking them to be quiet. And they were a little scary, Louise. So I didn't want to turn around and give them the evil eye and ask them to please be quiet because I thought they might knock me out.
That's the thing. You have to really, some people are just a little cray cray, aren't they? So you have to kind of like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And that must have been so off-putting for that medium as well. That must have been not a nice experience.
Yeah, because I think you're so vulnerable when you do mediumship that you can feel like people are talking about you, and it doesn't mean that they weren't. They were just talking. But, you know, you're offering your heart up to people.
100%. And you're vulnerable even when you're doing one-to-ones as well, aren't you? Like at the moment, all my work is still done virtually because my house has been renovated and I'm still in two minds whether to go back to, you know, in person or not. I don't know. But anyway, because they work, as you know, exactly the same. I'm sure you all know. But even like when you're reading for somebody on a one-to-one and you can sense there's someone else in the room, have you had that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, they keep looking over. I'm like, if there's someone else there, this message might be for them, because obviously your energy's there, so I can pick up energy of everyone that's around you. Yeah, it's very intimidating sometimes, I think. And I don't know, I'm not tough enough for that kind of big audience thing anymore.
And that, I mean, I don't know if I am. I think we're just always learning, and some DEMs are more painful than others and some experiences. And there's nothing wrong with offering just one-to-ones, is there? You have fantastic feedback. Your clients love it.
Yeah.
So putting all that to one side, otherwise we'll fill the entire podcast with that, I've decided to go really gentle with the second one in the Mediumship Matters. And I would like to know, you ladies, why do you think we come here? Because this topic fascinates me. Now, I always heard when I was in groups growing up and learning and lessons and things like that, we come here to learn. We come here to have experiences. You hear things like karma banded around. Are we coming here to fulfill something with karma? Are we coming here to help other people grow? Or is it about our souls' growth? But then you listen to Abraham Hicks, and Abraham Hicks say, we come here for the pure joy of it. We are here to create and enjoy creating in this physical environment. And the only disharmony in this space is something that we've created. So where do we sit with that huge topic? Jennifer, I'm going to go straight to you. What are your takes on this?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of that, Hannah. I mean, I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think it's all of that. For me personally, I think it's all about the soul. And it comes here to have an experience in a physical body to evolve. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even use the word learn, just evolve. And sometimes we are more a pillar for others to lean on, and sometimes they lean on us a little bit more. But I think the reasons are so vast that we come here. Essentially, though, to give a short answer, because I could go on forever about this, it is about the evolvement of the soul to stretch and to grow. And my opinion, and this is just where I am today in this moment, 2022, on this day, the 23rd, I feel like we are here to be in touch with our soul, the senses, the clairs, to balance the physical body with the spiritual body, and to come into that place of knowing spirits around us. There is a greater source, and to be in tune with it and to develop. And, you know, as we all know, with this development of mediumship, we come into a place of more authenticity and compassion and seeing this place more clearly and, you know, just supporting each other and growing. And we all go back to the same, and we're all connected and involvement. I mean, that's really just to start out my a big reason why we're here, and that soul evolvement and awakening comes in many different shapes and forms and sizes and ways for each soul. And I think it is decided on with that natal chart. You can find the answers in there too. I'm a big astrologist though. So I don't know if I would say just for the pure joy, when we're in spirit deciding to come here, sure, we could see it as joy that we're getting this opportunity. But while we're here, it's hard to really grasp that because there's a lot of thorns and friction and sandpaper and the contrast, right?
Yeah,
I would say. Sure. So that's kind of a little bit of where I am today on this.
Excellent. Sue, what's your take?
Well, I agree very much that there's no one answer to this. And I think what we have to realise as well is that when we're asking the question, that's us human in our human head. Mm-hmm. That's our intellect asking this question. And we want the answers and we want precision and analysis. And actually, if we asked our soul to come forward, to come mm-hmm. through, if we channeled what our soul would be, they would probably say to love and to be in joy. Because, and I do believe that the soul is here to evolve. And I believe that as souls, we come back and we live on Earth. And I think we live in other existences, other planes as well. You know, I so agree with Jennifer. If you ask the soul before it's come into the human form, it is all about joy and love. So they probably think it is a hoot. But when we are here as a human, we get so caught up in the reality of things. And I think it's taken humankind all these years to get to 2022 for us to start having a real, huge, massive realization that actually there is something more than what we've all been aspiring to in the physical form, you know, and the material form. And, you know, I think as well, when we talk about there are lessons always sounds really hard to me and quite harsh. I think we're here for experiences. And I think that there are themes we might be here to experience. I mean, who knows, actually. Okay. So I think it's something of all of it, isn't it?
Louise, and then you can unmute yourself when I talk to you. Right, dogs, your dog's got an opinion.
That's right. They should be asked.
Yeah. Dogs have souls as well.
Exactly.
Right. It's probably one of your relatives passed over living in your dog. You never know. They might want to talk.
Go on, Lisa. Hit us with your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely be on the bandwagon with everybody else here, but I'm going to answer this from a different perspective as having been someone who had a near-death experience. So I go back to all the way when I was 16 and crossing over and feeling the immense amount of joy when I crossed over. And at such a young age, I should have wanted to come back and experience the rest of it. But I was the exact opposite. I wanted to stay gone. And I remember begging to stay and being told no. And in that no, it was if there was volumes and volumes and volumes of all of what I had yet to experience. And I was also aware at that time that I had somehow agreed to or chosen to go through everything that I had been through, immense amount of pains and surgeries and things. And I remember being frustrated by that realization. What do you mean I signed up for this shit? I'm like, wait a second, who would do that in their right mind? But at that time, I was so confused by it all, but I was learning all of that as I was coming back into my body to live out the rest of what had yet to be done. So I do believe it's a choice when we come back and we choose the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so, like you've all said, it is a mixture of everything as to why a soul decides to come here. And sometimes we don't even know what that is. And you know, you're being sent back going, oh, here, you have so much more to do. And I'm like, what do you mean? What? Who would want to leave this? How could it get better than this? And then we're in this body, this human body, trying to figure out all the joys of being here and what that can mean. And especially, like you said, in 2022, when all of us are going through this sort of awakening, if you will, for lack of a better term at this point. So yeah, that's where I'm gonna stop there.
I love it. Great. Right, Louise, hopefully your dog's finished input.
I'm on mute now. Yeah, I think my husband just put her in the kitchen. I'm so sorry. Oh, she literally barks at everyone that walks past. Yeah, I agree with what everyone said, really. But like, there is no one answer, is there, really? I can only really say what I've learned over the years of my mediumship and my spiritual development and stuff. And in my humble opinion, I think that it is a bit lessony, I suppose. It's like a school. I think we go home to the spirit world and we get to evaluate our life path and what's done and what's gone on and what the lessons we've learned and the way we've handled them and the way we've dealt with them and what we've been through. And I think we come back to experience different lives and different experiences and different aspects of this human journey, if you will. I suppose I see so many different people in my readings, like thousands over the years, and I see the different tapestries of all their lives, and it's so interesting how they're so kind of completely different yet fundamentally the same. Like somebody's experience might be that they've, I don't know, that they've lost a child in an accident or something, and somebody else's experience might be that they've had trouble with relationships their whole life, so something like that. And I just think that, not that we get to choose to come back here, I'm not sure if we have a choice or we have to just keep coming back until we've learned all the things we're meant to learn and we've grown as much as we're meant to grow, so that we're so evolved at some point that we don't have to keep doing it, if that makes sense. I don't know. That's kind of my take on it.
Love it. And the interesting thing about choice here, because as Lisa was just saying, why would you?
Yeah.
Like, why would you? Why would you leave the bliss? Why would you leave the love? Why would you leave the joy? Is it the world's best sales? We all get a spiel and it says, go to Earth, learn to create and manifest in the physical realms. And then in the small print at the bottom, it's like, people will be mean. You will have body issues. You will have imposter syndrome. And we just go, oh yeah, fine, sign it away. It's so interesting. So do you guys believe that there can be a point in your life where you have learned all the lessons that your soul needed to learn, and then you can just have a bloody lovely time until you cark it?
No.
I don't think so. Can I step in? Is that all right? Sorry. I don't think that's the case. I think it's more a case of balancing the bad stuff and then learning to appreciate the good stuff. Because I've been through, as I'm sure you all have, we all do, right? That's life. But I've been through some really horrible things in my life, like horrendous. And I've also had some of the most beautiful moments where I thought, okay, if I died tomorrow, I'd look back on my life and be like, yeah, it was tough at times, but there's beautiful moments and joy. I believe joy to be found in every day. But without the bad stuff that I've been through, I don't think I would appreciate a sunset or an ocean or a little bird that flies into my garden or a butterfly landing on me. You know, all the beautiful little things that I think are the things that spirit wants us to enjoy in this life. I think that's the reason we're given life, to feel love and compassion and kindness and all the lovely things about humanity. That's what I think.
Okay, great, good. Sue, what were you going to say?
Well, because there's an energy, isn't there, that's greater than all of us. Mm-hmm. And although we can create, and we know that we create our own realities and experience through mind and thought, there are some things we can't stop happening outside of us. You know, so we're not in charge of all of it. Plus, I don't think we'll ever get to a point where we know absolutely everything anyway, ever.
It's kind of narcissistic. I know everything, so I'm just going to sit here and not learn lessons and live my life, and all of you people that still need to learn lessons, you go right ahead.
And that, I think, is the point when that greater power comes in and gives you a big slap around the face, isn't it? And lands something in your lap to deal with.
Yeah.
I think we've all had those experiences, though, when we think we're done with a certain thing, you know, I've healed this, I've done that. And then we realise, no, I haven't, because here we are again.
Yeah.
Or is that just me?
No. And that's what I was going to talk about. Because when we come at from a lessons point of view, I'm sitting on the fence here to get the answers that I want to hear your thoughts on. But, you know, it's almost like we think it's got this tick list. I came here to learn boundaries. I came here to learn self-love. I came here to be a guide for other people and stuff like that. And we always think of it like a tick list, but then the tick list fails, doesn't it? When you realize that you've not learned that properly, and round it comes again. And you know, it might come in a different package, but it comes back. So go on, Jennifer.
I think there's definitely a starting point that our souls have, but I think our souls are always evolving, always striving to grow. And let's just say there is the little dots that we all check off. The cosmos, the lunar cycle, that is the natural push and pull on our soul energy to have movement. Whether we finish all those dots or not, it's there. And Hannah, what you said in one of your podcasts, I think it was, free will is the dominating law here. Yes. So if that is the case, and that is ever changing, and we cannot control that huge spider web that is being weaved into our path, there in itself means we're always going to have lessons potentially that are placed in our path that may not have been one of those dots that we signed up for. So
yeah. And do we imagine this when we're looking at this spider web that's growing? I do believe it evolves. That's what I believe. Yeah. So I think you might come here to learn one thing. And if you do manage to fully learn a lesson, I mean, I don't think I've fully learned any lessons yet. But, you know, if you are one of those people that manages to get one ticked off, I doff my cap to you. But I think you then will create more, because they're not going to waste, spirit aren't going to waste the energy, are they?
Yeah.
To get more stuff. So, okay. Now let's take this
ever evolving, always learning, always growing. Yeah.
So does that mean then that we believe that souls are imperfect in some way?
Oh, good one.
Because if it's perfect, if we believe that the spirit world is perfection, for whatever perfection is, I know that's coming in, it's from a human filter, but we have to use language, we have to think of a word, then why do we need to evolve?
Because we are the human, aren't we? The soul sits within the human, and we've got the human psyche and our human mind getting in the way and all sorts. Soul probably does think we're perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But why would the soul come back and choose to incarnate in something imperfect if it is perfect, if it doesn't need to evolve because it's already perfect?
Because we
don't believe that. I think that we are always learning, even in the spirit world.
Yeah.
I've had proof from loved ones in spirit who have given me that. Yeah. I'm sure you ladies may have too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jennifer, there. Totally. That's exactly it. You just hit the nail on the head, I think. Because what I was going to say then was that in different readings, when connected with different energies, I'm sure you'll all know, you can almost feel, or I can definitely, somebody, it might be somebody's granddad or dad or whatever, and I can feel that they're more ascended than the reading I've done previous, and I've picked up someone's mum. They just feel like a higher energy, a strong, I don't know, more ascended.
That's healed. The word I can describe.
More healed, yes. Yeah, that's it. And it's not that they're more healed, that they're life path when they were here was any easier or whatever. They just feel different. You can just feel the difference in their energy.
Well, you can with people here, can't you?
Yeah.
We all know who's high vibe and low vibe. You can smell it.
Yeah.
You know who's leaving when they come in the room. You know when to be going. We all know that. So it's, you believe it's the same with the soul. It's just evolving and growing.
Yeah.
Infinitely. Definitely. Or to a point where, like Buddha, it reaches the end of the evolution. So therefore there is perfect.
That's what I think.
Okay. So how does that work with time being a human construct? I know I'm on it today. So how does that work then? Because if there is potential to move into nirvana where you don't come back, you don't incarnate on earth because you have evolved to that, but time doesn't really exist, it's a human construct, surely we've already evolved into the perfected state and moved into nirvana.
Not too familiar with Buddhism, but I do remember, I think long ago I learned that when you did reach nirvana, you could choose to come back and learn.
Yeah.
Is that right? Am I remembering that right? Or is that wrong, Hannah? I don't know. I think we always have that choice to come back and to help others. You know, I feel like there are many different worlds, call them whatever you want over there, not on earth. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we do evolve through and work through. And I think Earth maybe is confined a little bit more to certain worlds over there with where the souls are wanting, what the souls are wanting to work on or what have you. That makes sense.
Definitely.
I totally agree with that. I do. And I think there's different experiences to be had. And, you know, I guess you ascend as a soul. But I think it takes, well, I don't know. But to my mind, my human mind sitting here, I think it would take a heck of a long time to be an ascended master. Maybe. Yeah. But
Look at the guides. Supposedly, they lived on Earth at one point. But yet when you feel guides, they don't feel like a normal loved one in spirit contact.
No.
They feel. But supposedly they were human or they did come here. Mm-hmm. So that in itself, there's got to be these steps, right?
Yeah. I always find this really fascinating because I teach angelic Reiki, and there's a lot of that in angelic Reiki where there's sort of celestial princes and chieftains and a look of angels, and you're like, what? Like, have they got a hierarchy? Can there be such a thing as a hierarchy when there is no ego? Like, anyone want to comment on any of my, I know I'm on it today. Sorry.
My brain hurts right now because I'm still trying to disassemble the first thing you said. So if you're noticing the look on my face, that's what it's about. But I'm enjoying all of you talking about it. So go for it.
I mean, I know there is no answer. I accept that. I'm not trying to push you guys into making you give an answer because there is no answer. And I think there are concepts that are too advanced for us to understand in this flesh shell. Mm-hmm. I think I can almost sometimes feel the smoke coming out of my ears, like my computer's just given up and gone, and that's it then. But it's fascinating to think about it. It's fascinating to be open to it, especially as you said, Sue, in this time of ascension. What is this time of moving and progression for the human race, if not to at least ask these questions and start thinking about the purpose of it all? So if you come here to help, you can come here to help simultaneously with lessons, yes? Yeah?
I don't think anyone gets off easy. That's what I like to tell clients.
Because one of the things that I have noticed with spiritual stuff on Instagram and in the social media, it's there's quite a lot of sort of, I'm here to help you. I'm done. I'm baked. My lessons are learned. I'm so spiritual. I don't have any more to learn.
It depends on how they present it.
Yeah.
You're right. I know what you're talking about, but that's,
yes,
it depends on how they present it. If they have that air of that, and if someone doesn't vibe with that, then they can, you know, move on to someone else. But I 100% know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I would get up and run personally, but that's just me.
Amen to that, sister. Definitely. Definitely. So, okay. I'm new today when I woke up that I was just in one of these moods where I kept questions all day. So I knew I was going to work you lot really, really hard. So I just want to hit you with the one that I got when I was on my dog walk this morning. Okay. Now, my understanding, which might be different to your understanding, so let's work on understanding first. My understanding of the soul is that the soul can be fragmented, not in a bad way when people talk about soul retrieval and stuff like that, but that different aspects of the soul come back in different bodies, in different incarnations to experience different things, in different lives, in different places, at different times. Is that your understanding of the soul? Or do you think all of us comes here? Does anything stay over the other side? What's your understanding?
Can I clarify something? So we have a soul. Let's say my soul, yeah, right, that I have right now. And if I were to pass away, are you saying that then my soul has like four different parts and they all go to different bodies to live or understand something in whatever lifetime that is? This is like the multiverse. I'm freaking out right now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pointing because I'm so excited. So I interviewed a lady on this podcast, Melanie Veers, who had written a book. And in that book, her character goes up back to heaven. But when her character goes back to heaven, the fragments of her soul come back. And what she finds is it's like sliding doors. So there will be one aspect of her soul that stays with her husband, one aspect of her soul that divorces him when times get tough, one aspect of her soul where they lose a child, one aspect of her soul where she is childless. And they all come back together for her to have her learning for her soul's growth. And then some people believe that all of the soul is here on earth. Some people believe that part of the soul remains on the other side and part is here. I'm just interested on what your interpretations of that is.
I will start. First of all, I don't think we're ever going to know how it is, Hannah, because we are not meant to know in the human brains, in the human body. But I will say, based on clients, based on even what I have felt, astral projection, and it's, well, I'm not going to say astral projection, but what I have come to know to be true with alternate reality, or whatever you want to call them, a place where the other part of my soul could be living a similar life to learn. I am more on the fence of believing, more on the side of the fence that believes it absolutely is true. What is the body of the soul? You know, if we have loved ones in spirit who come through and say, no, I was with this son and I was with this daughter at this time and I was with them both, then in that point, I mean, of course our soul can split and be in different places. Do we come here as a whole soul and never split all the time? I mean, why not? Why couldn't it be both? Why can't it be all? Our soul can do whatever it wants to learn the best. And maybe it's split up in eight different ways, in eight different learning places, not the schoolroom of earth. I think so. And then sometimes I think we just want to come in as a whole soul here for a different type of experience, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it's all of it, to be honest.
Here's my input, what she said.
Well done, Lisa.
I'll tell you what, the twin flame thing where your soul splits in two and comes into two human bodies, I tell you right now, my other half is not going to come to Earth. It's going to be off in the alternate, having another experience different than Earth, okay?
Yeah, well, you see, that kind of thing, I'm always a little about. But it's so interesting. Sue, have you got anything you'd like to add?
No, Jennifer just said it all.
Well, I mean, there is no one set way. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's so difficult to answer. And also, without being flippant, what would be our purpose in knowing that now anyway?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
sometimes do you ever feel
it's so interesting, it's intriguing. But I don't think we're here to find out, because I think that takes our eye off the ball. You know, if we've chosen to be, our awareness is in this physical reality now and this physical body now, then the purpose is that. And yes, you know, gain an interest, get educated, you know, raise your awareness, open your mind further. But I think the concentration has to be on, well, what am I doing in this lifetime? This is where my awareness is now.
See, I really resonate with that. Pointy fingers back out again. Sorry, ladies, I've got them fired. But I really agree with that, because one of the things that's triggering me at the moment, and obviously I can only express how I feel in this moment right now, is this fascination with looking at past lives as a reason for current life problems, when really what you need to do is just deal with the problem.
There's a lot of mediums that say there's no point to look at your past life. Just do the best you can right now.
Yeah.
Of course, we can kind of get hints of it with the natal chart, though, you know.
But it's just, I think any aspect that helps us to heal.
Yeah.
It's what resonates with us, what works for us, you know. And I've
been, Saul's going to tell you.
And I've said, you know, mm-hmm. can I prove it's your past life or is it your imagination? Mm-hmm. We don't know. But if it works and it helps you heal, then let's take the result.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, as long as it doesn't become, because I've seen people recently saying things like, this is never going to heal because this is my soul's wound.
Well, that's just a cap out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have to find both aspects, the aspects within that, don't you? And yeah, you're right. I don't think we need to know. But
I think it's good to open your mind to what's possible and to understand, you know, that there's so much more to know. But concentrated effort kind of, you know, I'm aware of people that do out of body experiences and astral projection. And I am in awe and so fascinated with that. And I love to hear the experiences, you know, so that I'm not saying don't or whatever, but. You know, I think we're here to open our minds and be aware. But also the kind of number one is here.
Yeah. And Jennifer said something that I think started all of this question for me, which was months. This question's been rolling around for ages, as you can tell. But is that thing when somebody says, was my dad with me when this happened? And you say, yes. And then they say, was he with my brother when that happened? And you say, yes. And they go, but they live on opposite sides of the world. And you go, yes. And in a way, it's quite comforting that we've all come to the same agreement that the soul, in whatever way that works, is multifaceted enough to be in all places. Your loved ones aren't choosing. They aren't saying, I'm going to split my time equally and I'm going to be with that child and then that child and then that child. And they might miss some good bits, because if they haven't chosen to be with you in that moment, they've missed your baby's first smile. Or that there's something rather lovely about the power of no time, no space.
And also it's consciousness, isn't it? Consciousness and awareness. And at the moment, our consciousness is kind of contained a little bit. But my understanding, my belief, once we leave this physical form, and, you know, whether that's through astral projection or, you know, our passing through death, our awareness is infinite. Our consciousness is infinite. So we can be aware of and be in several places and think several things at the same time, because it's just hard for us to imagine that now with my little human mind going.
But it's literally,
it's energy, isn't it? When we go home to the spirit world, we go back to being energy, which is what's inside our human form anyway. That's what our soul and our spirit is, right? It's energy. So energy can spread around everywhere, can't it? But yeah, I like what you said about Melanie's book. I've actually read that as well. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that there could be a possibility of living all these different experiences all at the same time. Yeah. It's something I've thought about a lot. And it, like what Lisa said, it does makes your head hurt, doesn't it? It's like, oh, it's too much to think about. But I guess it is a possibility. We just don't know, do we? And we're not going to know until we find out, which we will all find out one day, right?
I know. Let's meet on the other side.
Yeah.
And let's go, bloody hell. Jen, you were right. Hannah, you were totally off. But like, I think it's so important to understand how magnificent it all is and not limit ourselves because we can't answer it. And I think there's a lot of people, I love that you've all been willing to there today to go, well, I'm not really sure, but this is my current take on it. I think that's really something very special, because so many people would not be willing to put themselves out there in this sort of situation and say, well, we don't really know, do we? And I think that's lovely. So thank you, ladies. Yeah. Has anyone got anything they want to add to end today?
I'll add one little thing, if I may. I've also been toying with the idea of oneness. I'm sure you've all heard that. Like, are we all connected? I don't know. Are we? Because we all feel individual, don't we? But then are we, if there's that concept of us all coming back, living different lives, experiencing different things, is it just that we are all one and we just experience everything at some point? Like just because we can.
Like my TikTok this morning. What if this is just one soul? What if we are all this entire planet? I know it was a bit philosophical. I was a little hungover this morning. I couldn't believe that was this morning. But what, you know, who's to say that we're not all one soul? Every single person on this planet expects, you know, being in all of those different flesh suits with all of those different issues and vulnerabilities and personality traits, who's to say that's not just one of us?
But then I suppose the difficult thing with that is not everyone is kind and caring and compassionate and has empathy. So for me to think that I could be a murderer or a paedophile or a vile person, I find that quite like, I wouldn't want to be that soul. Would you know?
Well, that's what my mum said at lunch today when I hit her with it.
Don't you think that there are aspects of the soul that get mirrored back to us?
There's
a lot going on at the moment. There are certain things, certain people, personalities that, you know, we've all got an opinion on that we might deem as being this, that and the other. But if we know that as a soul, they've come here to be that person, to be that aspect, to show us something, then there's a certain compassion you can feel for a soul that decides to come back and be disliked. To choose to come back and be a certain personality and put themselves out like that to show us.
That would be part of their lesson, wouldn't it?
An aspect.
And our lessons.
What we need to learn.
Yeah.
Because you've got to
think. What we learn from them.
At the moment, globally, the carpet's been pulled up and we're all having a look at what's been swept under it for the decades.
Yeah.
There's so much, I mean, coming out, you know.
And that's surely got to be tied in to the evolution, the ascension. It's surely all happening at the same time.
Yeah, because it's showing us globally what we all need to heal and the things that we don't want to look at and probably the things that we really need to see that they're aspects of us too.
Shadow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, grab a broom, everyone. It's time to clean up.
Yeah. I know. I agree with you, Hannah, though, just to throw in my two cents. I think we are all connected. I think the soul is the individual consciousness of all of us. And I kind of think of spirit as the vein that connects us all. It's our life force that gives the soul life. This is just my belief. And in that spark of spirit or that vein that connects us all to spirit around us, you know, we can definitely be connected to everyone here, all the other souls incarnated. That vein connects us all, but yet the soul, it is our individuality. And I do think that in that connectedness of spirit that runs inside us and outside of us, we can push and pull with others, kind of like what Sue was saying, and I can't quote you directly, but you know, the mirror, what you were talking about, this natural ebb and flow of what we need to be brought into awareness of, or what we attract to bring evolvement to the soul, that link connects us into that. I think, I know that's deep. Sorry.
That was so lovely. I'm going to take that as
what's that sound?
Yeah. That's the spirit world trying right there.
It's coming from the multiverse. They're trying to tell us.
That's coming another through. Version of me finishing the podcast in a different dimension. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Woo, woo.
So thank you all very much for your time. And thank you, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed it. let us know what you think. We want to know what you think too, because that's how we learn, this collaborative kind of, I've learned something from every single one of these ladies today. I would love to learn from you too. So make sure you tell us what you think. Have a lovely day.